everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up. And for those of you who regularly tune in, first of all, thank you for tuning in. But as you can see right now, I'm pretty casual. Got my little dive t-shirt, and I'm riding solo this week. This is from the Philippines. I went there for a couple weeks, I want to say, just diving there. I also flew and was scared to death in a big old storm going to, I can't remember what island, but the plane only went like once a week, and it was a storm. It was like, if I don't go, I miss the dive trip. So I ended up going, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. For those of you who always want to take up diving, do it. It's one of the most serene adventures you can do. That's when I actually look at God's marvelous creatures. But anyway, I'm digressing. Once again, this is Fired Up. My cohorts, G. Mangani and the beautiful Annette Ross, are spending time with the family on this week of Thanksgiving Day was the other day. And I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I saw some stories where some liberals did not go home and you know, they're angry they lost. You know, I was angry and bummed out when Donald Trump, in my opinion, had the election stolen from him in 2020. But don't deny your parents, you know. And karma's a bitch. That's going to be you one day. If that's the values you teach your kids, don't be shocked when you get in an argument or it will happen with your kids, especially as you're adults. And they take up what you did. You know, your parents are getting older. They love you regardless. So don't punish them, because you may get in the short-term laugh and feeling good about yourself, but you're still miserable. And all you're doing is making them miserable, because your pettiness in terms of how you view your loved ones couldn't take it. I find it ironic, all these bigots, racists, leftists, progressives on the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, The View, they tell you, don't you dare have Thanksgiving or not spend the holidays. No, they don't say don't you dare, but don't do it. They're spending it with their families. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that follow the mantra, do as I say, not as I do. But anyway, we've got an exciting show. Well, I'm not going to say exciting. We've got a very good show for you tonight. Well, the mainstream media is losing it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Catherine Hedridge, the CEO of Axios. Then, you know, voter fraud is still happening. You know, California, today is the 29th. When was it, like, say, the 5th? I mean, we're talking over 2 weeks. Maybe three. The point is, California, it's only at 93% the last count when I looked at it the other day. In the holidays, they stopped. 93%. That. You want to know about voter fraud? That's how and where it happens. Then we are going to talk about California and voter fraud via ballot harvesting. I'll explain what it is, how they claim it helps us when in reality it's just an excuse, and how it actually opens the door with voter fraud. It's like I tell my partner, Big John. Can you prove it? No, I can't. And we had a great guest, Jamie. What was Jamie's last name? We'll have him on again. And Jamie Mitchell, maybe? I can't remember. I apologize, Jamie. But he said it best. Look, their whole goal is to get the vote in the system. Once in the system, you can't get it out. It's an impossibility. And it's very hard. It's an impossibility. It's near impossibility because it's very hard to prove. So it's about telling you some ugly truths. I come from a country where there are two tyrants who fix elections, so I know what the hell I'm talking about. So then we're also going to talk about the California Republican Party. This was a red wave. We still lost massively here in California. Trump may have pushed not only California, but every other blue state 5 to 10 to 15 points redward, but they remain blue. And a lot of that has to do with the incompetence of our state Republican Party. And it's led by an incompetent person, Jessica Milan Patterson. I'll never forget. This was, I don't know, 6 years ago, 8 years ago. That was in a while since she's been elected. I was so, dude, you should want to vote for her. You should be happy. She's a Latina. She's you. I'm like, I don't care what the hell she is. She's as rhino as they come. She's a Kevin McCarthy laptop, which is funny. She's Latina, really? But then why is she still doing the bidding for the white man? At the teeth of the white man's check. They get pissed when I say things like that. How dare you? How dare you, William? How dare you? Anyway, those are our topics for tonight. But before we get going into them, I urge you, I beg of you, please, like, share, and subscribe to this podcast, Fired Up. Because without you, this won't happen forever. And it's a great way to support an all-volunteer effort right now. So anyway, let's get down to it. So first of all, the mainstream media is losing it. I'm going to insert this video here by Axios, one of the co-founders, Jim VandeHei.
Everything we do is under fire. Elon Musk sits on Twitter every day, or X today, saying, like, we are the media. You are the media. My message to Elon Musk is bullshit. You're not the media.
Jim does not get to decide who and what the media is. It's as simple as that. I was part of the media when I had my previous business. It was Fantasy Sports. Look at the events. I was seen as news media. Honesty is the greatest trademark to journalism. Sure, there's things they teach you. This is what a good journalist does, how he does it, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line with journalism is you have to be a beat dog reporter, willing to make those phone calls, willing to do what? Find the truth and then report it. Jim is from Politico, a very progressively based outlet. He's not the Axios CEO. Let's keep going here first. All a bunch of like-minded seals.
You having a blue check mark, a Twitter handle, and 300 words of cleverness doesn't make you a reporter. You don't do that by popping off on Twitter.
Well, he's lying. There are many journalists, starting with Catherine Herridge, and we're going to talk about her, that have gone to X because they've been blackballed by their own mainstream media corporate masters because they wanted to do actual journalism. No. We do not do that here. We do what the Democrat Party wants us to do. So they went on to X. You can subscribe to them. You can support their work. These are citizen journalists. Let me remind you, in the Revolutionary War, it was the citizen journalists that spread the word, not the king's word. Those were the official mainstream media. So Jim here is just, excuse my sailor talk, but a butthurt bigot.
Don't do that by having an opinion.
And yet mainstream journalism, they spew nothing but opinion without facts or data to back it up and tell you where the journalists believe our opinion is fact. He fails to mention that.
You do it by doing the hard work.
Yeah, come on. So clap, everyone.
Whoa. So what we're witnessing right there.
First of all, I've got to say, extraordinary content. It needed to be said.
Yeah.
It continues to need to be said. When all of the garbage is flying around on social media, lying about reporters, lying.
We're not lying about reporters. We want quality reporters. The thing is we easily can refute and prove they're the ones who are lying.
Lying about the hard work they do, lying about the hard work editors do, lying about everything up and down, about not only their alternative set of facts, but alternative set of facts about what people like you do. Or if social media people lying.
Oh, my God. It's like a self-flatulation event, and they all think it smells like unicorn farts.
Every day, every hour, every minute about the news. What you do matters. What the New York Times does matters.
Yes, it matters to their corporate masters. It matters to, it's not even that this is our ideology. It's like, no, it's what your corporate masters tell you. And then you go along because you like being in that circle.
What the Wall Street Journal does matters. What Jonathan Lemire does matters. What the
I guess that guy's Jonathan Lemire. I never heard of him.
Financial Times does matter. What NBC News and MSNBC reporters do matters. It matters.
People, the only damn thing that matters is the truth. And through that whole diatribe, not one of them said it matters because we're bringing you the truth, because they're not. They're not. And we're going to talk about with specific examples as to why there's no trust with the mainstream media. So first of all, the buffoon you saw at the beginning, his name is Jim VandeHei. He's part of Axios, and it was founded in 2016. And it has it was founded in 2016 by former political journalists, which included VandeHei, Mike Allen, and Roy Schwartz. It launched in 2017 with a focus on delivering concise, efficient news coverage, which it fails to do. And it quickly gained traction, and Cox Enterprise acquired it. They acquired junk. We all saw it. They just thought the good times would never end. They thought they would always control, be in the driver's seat. Yeah, supposedly they're known for their brief to the point articles, typically less than 300 words. I would say they're brief to the point false narratives. So what's triggering this guy? Easy. He's losing his audience. X is destroying them. X at one point was like 70-30 leftist to conservative. Now it's about 49-48. Leftist to conservative. So it's a more balanced approach there. And that's what they hate. They hate that the truth is getting out there. People don't trust them anymore. The revenue is in decline. And to be frank, that business model they have is failing. They laid off 10% of the workforce in August, which was about 50 employees. It's a lot of people. So he's furious that we're able to rebuttal them with the actual truth. Those community notes on X are phenomenal. Destroying their fake narratives has become easier and easier and easier as they get more outlandish. They're like clowns. I mean, Mika and Joe, they're like, the truth matters. Oh, no, they didn't say the truth. It matters what you do, really. It's like I'm trying to say, did it matter with you going down, dropping to your knees at Mar-a-Lago, kissing the ring? It matters for your masters who are going to try to sell MSNBC, but that's not the news. But my point is they're like the wind. Oh, ooh, like a weed in the wind. Ooh. They are right now desperate, so they want to go with the wind. And the wind is, it's a red wave coming. Changes are coming. So MSNBC sent them down, in my opinion, to try to make the peace, to try to rebuild some of the MSNBC lies. With maybe a little bit more balance, but they just won't do it. They're too far gone. I mean, even still right now, post-election, they're calling Trump racist. His people racist. Everybody's racist. They're calling you, they're saying you're too stupid because you voted for Trump. That's what boggles my mind. I'm going to do a clip about that. I've got to do a clip about that. So how many of these buffoons sit there and say, we're stupid because we chose to vote for a better economy. We chose to vote for borders. We chose to save democracy. It's funny. They always talk about free speech, free speech, free speech. Yet now, what are they talking about? We got to find a way to regulate social media. Translation, regulate X, because they have Facebook. Facebook scared the death of them. Yeah. They have, who's the other one? Facebook, X, Instagram's another one. That's on their side. You know, of course, Facebook owns it. So he's furious that X can show the truth. People like Jim VandeHei, they used to be able to be gatekeepers. Gatekeep on what they would determine is news, which was usually a narrative they wanted us to believe in versus what the facts really are. But they lost their credibility with decades now of lying. And now with X able to expose those lies, it's driving them crazy. So why is the mainstream media dying? Jimbo, give me a hand here. The border czar. Kamala Harris was often referred to as the border czar by this same mainstream media. And then what happened? She became the presidential nominee for president. All of a sudden, she's not the border czar. We never said it. They came out and said, you know, this was despite Joe Biden assigning her that task, then repeating it over and over. And then once she got the nomination, it's, well,
Her role was more focused on diplomatic efforts rather than direct border security.
Obviously, the shift exposed who and what they are, and it didn't lead to accusations. It just continued the legitimate accusations of media bias and inconsistency, especially from those who felt the initial label was used to unfairly criticize her. In other words, they didn't feel it was unfairly used. They knew it was going to come back to bite her in the ass because her as a border job, we had a wide open border. Let's go to Big Jimbo himself and Axios. Did you know they tried to take down a game? You know, they tried to do everything. They're not quite like, as good as we are. You know, growing these media. Axios tries to, you know, to be part of the pop culture sports and add comments and everything. They were one of the media outlets that chose not to cover Hogwarts Legacy, the biggest game, video game in 2023. What was the reason for this boycott? It was due to the controversy surrounding J.K. Rowling, the creator of Harry Potter. She believes women are women, men are men. Women saying they're men saying they're women should not be allowed in rape centers, should not be allowed in bathrooms, should not be allowed anywhere that's a private area for women. And she's a bona fide flaming liberal. Despite the boycott, Hogwarts Legacy achieved significant commercial success, topping bestseller list even before its release. I think like within a month or so, it had like 15 million copies it had sold. The decision by Axios and others to avoid covering the game, it was seen as virtue signaling. It was seen as trying to change the game. They were trying to destroy a product. They also lost out on thousands in ad revenue. Well, we're not going to allow you to advertise that game on our outlets. Hogwarts, come on down to Grumman's Media. We welcome you. So their job is to report the news regardless of their ideology, but they don't. Because they believe in grooming, men and female restrooms, and sports. And they refuse to cover one of the biggest games to come out because of the creator. Think about that. But there's more, Jimbo! There is more! Let us go back to a conservative's favorite. The Russia collusion hoax. Trump colluded with Russia for the 2016 elections. Election interference. You know, it's ironic. On a side note, they all kept saying the election was stolen. 2020 election stolen. You're a threat to democracy for saying that. Then let us not forget the Covington Catholic incident. Where all the media outlets reported that a group of Covington Catholic high school students wearing MAGA harassed a Native American. Well, once the video came out, it was the that was harassing the kids. Who turns out to have been, I want to say he lied about his service, but I can't quite remember, so don't quote me on that. And my personal favorite, the Charlottesville comments, where Trump was said to have called white supremacists very fine people, which he did no such thing. I got in an argument. Oh, what is his name? What is his name? What's it? I remember Jason Cole. We were going back and forth. And this guy teaches journalism. At a school. He was trying to tell me he's a racist and so that. I even showed him the Snopes comment saying, no, he never said it. Even the video, which is black and white. Their hate is so strong, they're willing to lie. And Jimbo, that's a reason. Full transcript and the video of his comments show that he condemned white supremacy and neo-Nazis. The Ukraine call. I don't know if Trump is right. It was the perfect call. But they're saying he pressured Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. No, he did not. The Lafayette Square incident. It was reported that Trump ordered the clearing of the Lafayette Square for a photo op. Later investigation found that the clearing was planned before Trump walked through the church. The COVID-19 response. Trump was said to have called it a hoax. He referred to the politicization of the virus by Democrats as a hoax. The Russian bounties. Reports claim Russia paid bounties to Taliban fighters to kill U.S. soldiers, and Trump ignored it. Later, intelligence agencies admitted there was no evidence of that. The Trump Tower meeting. They reported that Trump Jr. met with Russians to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. It was not a meeting regarding anything like that. Stormy Daniels. The report suggests Trump personally directed illegal payments to Stormy Daniels. However, when it came out, it was his lawyer, Michael Cohen, acted independently. He's a fixture, Cohen was. I mean, I got to be honest, Donald. I mean, talk to me, Donald. How do you get a bum like Cohen? He doesn't come over. I mean, he's got to be smart. He's a lawyer. He was your fixture for a while, but he doesn't seem to be the brightest guy. Trump's taxes. True reports claim Trump paid no taxes for years, while he paid minimal taxes in some years. He did pay millions in other years. His tax returns did show that. Here's the kicker. Trump himself came out of it when Hillary Clinton once said, you didn't pay any taxes or this or that. Or, I can't remember what it was, but he threw it back in her face saying, hey, you're the ones who make the law. I just take advantage of the law. Then there's the classic Nazi and fascist labels. Media outlets frequently label him as Nazi or fascist. And there's no substantial pushback from until the last past year because Republicans hated him because he did not fall in line. He's an outsider. And despite these claims, his policies from 2016 to 2020 did not align with what fascism or Nazism is. You know whose policies did? Obama's and Biden's in terms of how they tried to curtail free speech, how they went after conservative groups. Remember the IRS with Obama? Obamacare. The media failed to confront Obama on his 2+2=5 with an example of, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You know? So then finally, let's talk about the Hunter Biden laptop.
They broadcast a story about the Hunter Biden laptop after the midterm election.
What she's saying is they had all the info on the Hunter Biden laptop before the election. Election interference, anyone? Election interference from ABC, CBS, NBC, Facebook, CNN. Who did I forget? Instagram, Twitter.
In 2022, we commissioned a forensic review. I got a copy of the laptop data. I have it here still. I went to a lot of effort to get the cleanest copy of the laptop data, the same data that was provided to the FBI, because I didn't want to have any professional journalistic risk for CBS News.
That's a reporter. She's not only getting the information, she's verifying it, and she's making sure her corporate masters are insulated, are protected with the truth as she's researching it. That is journalism, people.
I want this thing to be totally locked down. When we did the story, we did it after the midterms. I argued against that because it was ready before the midterms. And my training is that you should always do the story when it's ready to go. You should not be dictated by the political cycle.
They weren't dictated by the political cycle. They wanted their leftist candidates to win. That's what that boiled down to. It was election interference.
Once we got the laptop story on the morning news, I felt that there was so much there that we could still do. For example, in the text messages, there's unfortunately the use of the N-word, the liberal use of the N-word. And I thought this was worthy of a story, but
when has that not been worthy of a story for the left or slash progressive slash Democrat party slash bigot slash racist that's on the Democrat plantation? When has that not been an issue? It's always been an issue. So all of a sudden,
I was told that it was not something that interested CBS News. Then I asked for forensic.
Was nothing that interested CBS News? Racism? Really? These are the people who were exploiting George Floyd to create chaos and make Trump look bad. They didn't care how many people got murdered. They didn't care how much in billions of destruction were done. They had to get Trump out of office at all costs. Damn the casual American citizen. Collateral damage.
A review of the laptop, and we found that there were more than half a dozen emails that were likely used by Joe Biden. I thought that was a story.
That's a big story because Joe Biden said he had nothing to do with Hunter and his dealings. Never did anything like that. And here are potential emails showing Oh, God, I love that guy, because he achieved his dream of becoming president, albeit not how he truly wanted it, in terms of he wanted to be more of a sound mind. But you don't think that gets out? Our hell breaks loose?
But the answer that came back was, well, we need to know what the content is of the emails. But that was going to be a years-long process. So there was no way. So there were a lot of reasons I was told not to do it, not to pursue it.
Hmm. How many times have we seen the Jimbo and Axios in the media reporting through anonymous sources that we know don't exist? And they'll even say it at the bottom. We do not know if this is true or not, but we expect it to be true. New York Times became infamous for that. But Joe Biden being on a laptop at least 10 times? That's incredible. And you know, it's not just that. I mean, they go after Trump even when it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's incredible. Look at this. This one here blows me. It's simple turkey season. And look, this is how they reported it on Trump when he was president. The obscenity of pardoning two turkeys. And look at the picture they show of Trump. And then look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden begins final White House holiday season with turkey pardons for peach and blossom. Biden sounded wistful tones about the last weeks of his presidency. You know, I mean, even in simple moments which shouldn't warrant any hate, they bring hate into it. Mind-boggling, my friends. Mind-boggling. Musk is not responsible for the media losing relevance. People like you are, Jimbo. The public expects unbiased news. They expect important events to be broadcast, not what you deem important. They expect honesty in reporting. And the mainstream media has not done that in decades. And none of you did that when you should have, Jimbo of Axios. And now you're paying the price. Because you know what? It still continues. Just my last week's podcast, we were showing MSNBC and CNN playing the race card and The View being forced to apologize because of their hate-filled rants that are unproven, just full of hate and malice. Until that changes, Jimbo, mainstream media will continue to die. And you are watching an explosion of not just podcasts, but reporters. Independent reporters using decades of their own Rolodex to get information. And that's, nobody's talking about that, but that's what's really creating major damage. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to voter fraud. So when we use our ID, we all know we have to use it for many things. Here are just a few of the things you have to use ID for. I'm not sure you can see that, but driving, boarding an airplane, purchasing a car, getting a car registration, renting a car, boat, jet ski, etc., buying insurance, buying train tickets, obtaining a passport, picking up mail from FedEx, GPS, post office, running to visiting doctors. You get the point. I mean, that's three columns of when you need it. When valid IDs are not required for voting. I mean, that should be something that makes people go, things that make you go, But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem to work. So many instances of voter fraud go unnoticed because they're actually isolated, they're sporadic, and they involve small numbers. That's a theory. Because that's probably how it used to be. But not anymore. Now it's done on massive scales of thousands of votes in certain areas. And it's hard to detect in large scale elections. And once these votes are in the system, they're there forever. I'll prove that in a second. So this means that for every voter fraud case discovered, there's likely exponentially many, many, many more, thousands more that slip through the cracks. So current 2024 issues in Michigan. A non-citizen student at the University of Michigan was arraigned after casting an illegal vote. When asked about the vote, if they could pull it, no, it's in the system. We don't have no way of getting that vote out. Go figure. Jamie is, what the hell's Jamie's last name? I'm sorry. I have got to find out. Jamie Miller, GOP strategist based out of Florida. Give him a follow if you can. I don't know what Jamie is, but look up Jamie Miller. I want to say it's RemPost or something like that. It's at RepJam. Go ahead and give him a follow. Anyway, so the Michigan cases, I told you once the ballot was in there, and Jamie Miller explained to us, hey, that's the problem. That's why it's next to impossible to prove voter fraud. And once those ballots get into the system, it's nearly, if not impossible. So in Pennsylvania, they were defying the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that ruled that counties must not count illegal ballots, specifically those missing dates or improperly signed. They kept doing that blatantly until they realized, okay, it's a different movement right now. They want to hold us accountable. And they backtracked, say it was a mistake, misunderstood, whatever. No, they're lying. Broward County in Florida is another example. Ron DeSantis was finally the first governor to remove the register office, the supervisor who ran that office of registers where all the voting's counted in Broward County, because she'd been a crooked woman, crooked for over a couple decades. But nobody had the cojones to remove her. It's too political. No, you remove her, sorry ass. That's why DeSantis is a strong leader. You may not like him, but he does things others won't that are right. In Minnesota, there's a tight House race. 20 absentee ballots were reported missing. There's another one, if not Scott County. There's another one, there's like 14 missing. And the point is, it's like a single-digit race right now. So every vote does matter. And then just, I did a previous podcast maybe a couple of months ago, and I showed more recent ones. So here's just a couple from 2029, from 2019 to 2023. There's a Connecticut absentee ballot misuse. Four Democrat operatives charged with unlawful possession of absentee ballots. It included witness tampering. Oh, mafioso Democrats. And then misleading voters about eligibility. In 2023, the Michigan signature verification ruling. A judge ruled against lenient signature verification. The Democrats are trying to get it to where, that signature, signature is going to be 9 days. Yeah, close enough. And you couldn't challenge it. You weren't allowed to challenge it. That's what the rule was. And so, obviously, it's there. Brian Williams did a great thing about how the Democrat Party needs to rebuild itself. Then there was another one. And it was the other one. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Brian Williams. That's later on. But there was another one that talked about, Mark Anderson. When he was on Joe Rogan, he was talking about a bank, I forget the term, when banks just remove you from the system. You basically can't work a business or start a business, deal with any money, everything becomes cash. Then when they debank you. And he was saying, yeah, we know how it works. You know where it goes. He goes, you can't prove it. There's no way you can prove it. You just got debanked. But it's next to impossible to figure out. But they know because there's a trail of power and why it's happening. It's the same thing with voter fraud. And we need to change these things. We need to sit there and put these people in jail for life. Put them on a damn chain gang. I don't care if it's somebody like Mitch McConnell, 80-some-odd years old. You put that old fart on a chain gang. If he only lasts a week, then by God, he only lasts a week and goes and meets his maker. No, I'm not wishing his death. Don't do that. I'm just saying the punishment needs to be hard for these people. That's the only way you get integrity back. Let's look at this, too. Kamala won states that don't require voter ID. Let's take a look at this chart here. And, I didn't get an issue, but my partner said, well, she didn't win every state that required voter ID. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. And I went back and looked at it. Technically, he's right. But in reality, he's not. She won California, no ID. Hawaii, no ID. Illinois, no ID. Maryland, no ID. That meaning no ID needed. Massachusetts, no ID. Minnesota, no ID. New Jersey, no ID. New Mexico, no ID. New York, no ID. Oregon, no ID. Vermont, no ID. Washington, non-photo ID. That was maybe the wrong list. So it's a non-photo. So if I go in as Joe Smith, there's no way to prove I'm that Joe Smith that there's no photo. So that's, I apologize. That one should be in my next list. But Washington, non-photo ID. Washington, D.C., no ID. The others are non-photo. I don't know what my producer was doing there, you know. But those are the states that she won. But she did win, supposedly, this is what my partner was saying, and I didn't push the point or argue the point because I just didn't see any reason to, because I didn't know. I just assumed, statistically speaking, I assume, you know, hey, conservatives can throw crap out there, too. Then I looked at those states, and lo and behold, New Hampshire, non-strict photo ID, which means you can still vote without an ID. Rhode Island, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Virginia, states she won, you can still vote without ID. So it's a technicality, but if you don't have it, you can still vote. Now, Donald Trump did win several states, but he only won two where there's no ID needed, Nevada and Pennsylvania. And the GOP countered those efforts to ensure integrity with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of poll watchers in those two states. And they still tried to illegally count votes in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Hey, one of the tip-offs, and I saw this in California too, and the Republican Party didn't do anything. You'll get a kick out of this one. This one blew my mind. Let me present it to you here. I'm not sure you see that. Precinct, registered voters, voters cast and turnout. Those are the top four columns. Let me see if I make this a little bit bigger for y'all. Or actually, let me see. All right, I think you can see that. Yeah. So look over here. 91%. These are turnouts that are extremely high. These turnouts never existed before absentee ballot. But look at here, Ward 17, Precinct 3, 104%. Ward 17, Precinct 4 is Boston, 121%. 110%. 100%. These are statistical impossibilities, people. 121%. 124%. 125%. 129%. 264%. It's like, come on, man. Come on, man. It's like, really? Really? Is that where you're going with that? How do you steal an election? Well, California knows how to do it. Like I said, only 93%. Today's the 29th. The election was what, the 5th or 7th? Oh, gosh, I feel like an idiot. The election was the 5th. Tuesday the 5th. Today's the 29th. That's 3 weeks, 3 days ago. No voter IDs needed. Absentee ballots flood the market. Ballot harvesting flood the market, which means there's no chain of custody. We're going to talk about that in a bit. You have all the time in the world. They need to make some kind of laws. Congress needs to step in. They can step in federally and do this. I got in a dispute again with my partner about it. It can happen. It can happen. I don't know if it can happen. I'm pretty sure it can, based on the fact Congress has enacted certain measures and said this is how it is for federal elections. We have a jungle primary out here in California, which means the top two advance. But there's certain issues with that jungle primary because of federal election law. So it can be done, you know, because at the end of the day, all state elections are done under the same day as federal elections. And this absentee ballot voting, it's enough. You know, Arizona, here's another example of how they do it. At least there are hundreds of voters that have commercial businesses listed as their residents on their voter registration forms. And let's see, what's this group called? The Public Interest Legal Foundation, PILF. PILF found it. These businesses include, now this is their legal address for voting, and their business addresses include an abortion clinic, a strip club, a high school, and the Arizona Cardinals training facility. I mean, those are like massive red flags. These people, darn, they don't live there. So finally, I want to show you a map. This is from a leftist website, pure play leftist, meaning we don't care about conservatives. If you die tomorrow, we're happy. I want you to look at this map. So the dark green is no ID required. The middle green, non-strict, non-photo ID requested, but voter can cast a regular ballot. Non-strict voter photo ID, same thing as above, requested, but voter can cast a regular ballot. What it is there's provisions to all this. But at the end of the day, the main thrust is ID requested, but voter can cast a regular ballot without ID. Now, the orange is where you get strict, but it's non-photo ID. ID required, voter cannot cast. So that's good. Orange is good. So you got Arizona that has changed its laws. The problem is it's a non-photo ID, and that's where they're cheating with that. And then all the absentee ballots, then you have corrupt register offices, supervisors. All this has been documented in Arizona. But then you have Utah, North Dakota, Iowa. So that's fairly strong when compared to the rest, but it's still not strong enough. Red, strict photo ID. You don't have this, you can't vote. And you cannot cast a regular ballot without it. This is how every state in the union needs to be done. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Only 11 states. And in Wisconsin, they still figured out the cheating comes from transferring from the precincts to the, from the voting precincts to the registrar's office. You know? And in the signature process. That's where that happens too. So if the cheating is there, it is there. Now I want to show you the final one before we move on. So, and this is from a far leftist, far, 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 so far left, they're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Look at all that green. Look at all that green. I don't know how many states, at least two-thirds at least. Incredible. So I want to show you this map. This is the map of current election issues. This is the Heritage database. But let me tell you something, people. I looked at this map, and they still, let's see, let me get slightly bigger here for y'all. You see this? So Texas, right now, there are currently 111 cases. Minnesota, 138. Illinois, 116 cases. These are voter fraud cases. Corruption, North Carolina, 123. Even Florida, 86. California, 64, is because it's hard to detect illegal voting in California because it's such blatantly done in a way that they purposely did it that way to make it hard to detect. But there's not one state that doesn't have it. And they try to tell you, oh, no, no, it's not happening. Think of this. So exponentially, there are probably thousands upon thousands that are not discovered. Voter fraud is there. I mean, it is there. And select my state. We'll just go through we'll go through Texas. See that? Those are all that have been convicted. Look at that. So that's what they know of. That is what they know of. So, my friends, the voter fraud situation is still playing itself out. It's playing itself out here in California. It's played, they try to play it out in Pennsylvania, it's post-election. You know, it's being played out, I believe, in Minnesota. So it's still happening. Do not be happy that Trump won and say, oh, we conquered voter fraud. No, we have not. It's still there. And we must stay vigilant, alert, and we must get these new laws. And the Republican Party has to do its job, and they're failing to do their job. They did it for Trump because it was Trump's daughter-in-law there, and everybody knew what the stakes were. Now they have to maintain this momentum. I'll be honest, I just don't know if Republicans have the capacity to do that. All right, bonus edition, people. California edition, voter fraud via ballot harvesting. So what is ballot harvesting? Ballot harvesting is third-party ballot return. It's a practice of collecting completed absentee or mail-in ballots from voters and delivering them to polling places or election offices. That's the definition for it in California. And in California, this practice is legal, and it allows any person to return another person's ballot, provided they do not receive compensation for doing so. Compensation comes from the party paying them to do it, not from the party giving them the ballot. So these are the excuses they say. Now, these are just excuses. They are not legit. Increase voter participation. It is not up to us to make sure everybody votes. It's up to the individual. There's already mechanisms put in place by both major parties to get people to the polls that's been practiced for decades. Volunteer drivers. I was a volunteer driver once over in Nevada. They said, oh, it's got to be convenient, William, convenient. People work. Well, they can't fire you. They can't do anything. Got to go vote. They have to let you. Now, you may lose pay to go vote that day, and that needs to be changed. I believe it's a day. Hey, yeah. You know, if it was me, my guys want to vote. Come on, guys. We're heading out to vote. Pile them in the cars. We all make it a fun event. We're going to have lunch afterwards. Who are you voting for, boss? I'm not going to tell you. Voting is a personal decision. Let's just go make it a day. I mean, there's various ways around that. So convenience at the cost of integrity, please. Assistance for vulnerable populations. It helps ensure that vulnerable populations, such as low-income communities and Native American voters living in remote areas, have their votes counted. This is a complete and utter lie. What they're saying is we're too stupid. I live in a rural area. My mom is your broken English simple woman. She has our family to help take care of her, to explain to her who these people are, what they represent, et cetera, et cetera. Is it biased? Yes, because we're a family of conservatives. And then she goes, well, what about the other guy? We explained to them, yeah, he wants to kill babies in the womb. My mom is very pro-life. Oh, no, 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 no. We vote for the other guy. Ami Horowitz, go check it out on YouTube. Did a phenomenal video. All these white people. Well, you know, they don't have internet. They don't know where the DMV is. You know, they don't understand who their candidates are. Oh, every freaking excuse. Ami Horowitz then went to the Harlem, showed it a bunch of Black residents said. One guy's looking around. Am I in candid camera? Is this a joke? How pathetic it was. That's what they talk about when they say assistance for vulnerable populations. I showed you. We got to get everybody out. Enhance access by allowing these third-party ballot returns to happen to go along with the absentee voting. There are precincts with over 100% ballot returns. Please. So how does ballot harvesting open the door to voter fraud? Well, there is actually intimidation coercion. Ma'am, I'm here to make life easier on you. Please, give me the ballot. I was sitting here by your son. Son of a boy sent you? Yes, ma'am. He says, give me your ballot. You know? Or, ma'am, I'll give you, you have to give me your ballot. Trump is going to kill you if you don't give me your ballot. Take that. They say anything and everything. Believe it or not, they say stuff like what I just said. They try to intimidate, coerce them, especially the vulnerable populations they're trying to take care of, specifically the elderly. They try to push them to vote a certain way. Now, there's also the risk that ballots are tampered with. They have been tampered with here in California, or altered, or even discarded. I saw that in the late 80s, early 90s, when I first got into politics and went to college. It was a retirement. I saw ballots in a trash, and then the person I was with picked them up. He goes, yeah, they do that all the time. They see they've registered them, and they register Republicans, they just toss it in the trash. They don't deliver it when they do these registration drives. Fraudulent ballots, that's my issue with the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots. There's been proven documented cases all over the country, people convicted of this. The bottom line is the chain of custody. Maintaining a chain of custody is crucial for the integrity. Without a chain of custody, there is no integrity. You cannot sit there and say, oh, no, William, there's no voter fraud. But yeah, they're trying to tell you there is. In California, they say, no, we require counties to develop and submit ballot retrieval, collection, and chain of custody procedures. You can't. Once it leaves the hand of the voter to the hand of a third party, your chain of custody is broken. Unless it's an official person, like a cop or something, in the criminal cases. Unless it's an actual officer, registrar, employee, then it's broken.
Then they sit there and say election officials must maintain and document an uninterrupted chain of custody for each ballot card and ballot storage container. So you're saying strangers, oh no, I went from here, here, here. Yeah, no worries. No worries. What party with? Democrat? So how many precincts did you get? 50? Well, then why are there 500? They all live in the homes. Then regulations, specific regulations, outline the standards for ballot counting and the circumstances under which a ballot is considered valid. They say they're there to safeguard the integrity of the voting, but they don't. It's just a rule they break. Again, Al Franken, not again, but you guys may not know, Al Franken got voted in as senator after he lost, after election. They kept mysteriously finding ballots. They were taken to court. They found activist judges. Every vote must count, even illegal votes. And he got elected. That's why it was such great, beautiful irony in how he was forced to resign. And I hope we never see him again. Now, there's party abuse on both sides. Some ballot harvesters may request to fill out the ballots for you. That's okay, man. You haven't filled it out? I'm not going to be able to come back here before election, but let me help you fill it out. If you want, just give it to me and I'll fill it out. Who's your favorite candidate? I'll take care of that. Don't worry. I'll leave the other blank. Now they do, they play that crap too. You know, both parties in California, instead of fighting ballot harvesting, Republicans want to join in on it so they can fill out ballots, so they can vote down ballots. I stopped voting 100% Republican. Probably some election cycles now, probably 50% of Republicans I don't vote for here in California. So these concerns, they highlight the need to go back to one-day election. And people who do mail-in ballots are military, or you can prove you're going to be on a business trip somewhere, and you have to have that ballot. There, Taiwan does it in one day. France, the ultra-liberal France does it in one day. Go back to paper ballots, count them, send them to the registrar's office. It's not rocket science. We had it. We were getting it down to science. Then technology. And you know what? Again, my partner and I got in a discussion about this a couple of years ago. No way, they can't be acted to. They can't be acted to. Oh, yeah, and a Finnish guy goes on Patrick Brett David's podcast, and that's a 15 minutes, or a couple of minutes, acts right into it. Well, they got to be right by it. Boy, you don't think there's not people standing right around there with super strong, whatever. I mean, when you're cheating at that level, you're going all in, baby. You're not doing chump change. You're not doing Radio Shack. You're doing high-end stuff. So go back to paper ballots. Voter fraud is still happening today. It's going to continue happening tomorrow. And until the Republican Party decides to take this seriously and fight it, we will continue to lose as we lost and are still losing in California. We lost seats in a red wave. Why? I believe because of voter fraud, ballot harvesting, and a Republican Party that has no cojones, led by a token Latina. Yo soy Latina, muchacho. I know what I'm talking about. It's a token Latina. At the teeth of her donor masters. She's become a millionaire playing the system. It's not skin color that's creating our political issues. It's a caste system. Those who have it and those who don't have it in terms of power and money. And those who don't have money, they're giving a few chavos. And they're on board. Just to be loud, Patrick. All right. Let's get down to our final topic of the night. The California Republican Party needs to be torn down. Look, it's insulting, denigrating, and you're slicing your own throat when you get fat slobs like Jim Brulte, who cut the legs out of the conservative grassroots and then seek to destroy their only base for get out the vote. Duff Sundheim was another one. These are California Republican state chairs. The current one is Jessica Milan Patterson. None of those people have a winning record. And they have exponentially lost. We went from a red state under those three party chairs. There was a fourth one there named Tom Del Becarro. But he was a conservative and they conspired against him. The party went into debt because these elitists told their donors, do not donate to the Republican Party. We got to oust this guy. The quickest way to oust this guy is by not having, allowing him to have access to money. It's insulting when you tell conservatives, who else are you going to vote for? No.
That's what I do now, bitches. I mean, you cut us off at the legs with unethical means, specifically by playing with the party rules, changing them up, having the consulting class, and we'll get to them in a second, and having power positions to keep the status quo going. And then telling us, who else are you going to vote for? Well, I'm not going to vote for Democrat Lionel Rhinos, Chad Mays. Oh, talk about a whore for the left. Rocky Chavez. Oh, man, I remember when I met Rocky. He was, how you doing, Mr. Constituent? Hey, Rocky, yo hablo español, yo soy latino. Oh, yo también, hermano, también. All of a sudden, Rocky goes, yeah, motherfucker, man, yeah. Not at me, just the guy talk. I was saying, he's part of me. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell? You know, man, he was good though. He could fool a lot of people. Then there's a classic Amon Faulkner who, with this, I mean, he did not go down in defeat. He was shellacked in his board of supervisors race, my friends. Destroyed. It was as if somebody put a stick of dynamite up his butt. Boom! Hopefully, we've seen the last of him. This is something Biden didn't like. And then I saw his policies. I read how he claimed credit when credit was not due. It's like, dude. You are a man for your donor masters, aren't you? Then there's Brian Manshine, or Manshin, who switched parties. So did Chad Macy, went independent. And there's a lady he was sleeping with. They were both married. And they were both in power positions, so they were colluding together. I can't remember her name. They were. Oink, 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 oink. There's a recent younger one named Susan Valladares. She's as rhino as they come. And you get a few conservatives will try to defend it. Well, look at her district and say, how about you take your message to your fellow Latinos in Spanish? You know, I don't know if she speaks Spanish. Let me think. I believe she does, but actually, and I apologize, as much as I don't care for her, I mispronounce her. Suzette Martinez Valladares. You know, she does speak Spanish. She needs, that's who you need. Because what happens when we Latinos, when we go to these districts, and they get shocked when I start talking Spanish. I flipped more than one Marco Rubio supporter to Ted Cruz in 2016, 2015 during the primaries. Because they thought Marco Rubio was this. And I'm talking in Spanish. I remember telling her. One lady was saying, well, isn't he an accomplishment? I go, if accomplished, you mean, educated, yes. I go, but he's never worked a job. ¿Qué tú me estás diciendo, muchachito? And I explained to her in Spanish how he never has worked in the private sector. And then I explained to her what Ted Cruz did, how he went up against the U.S. government to fight for Texas and our rights that they were trying to cede to other countries by saying other countries could come in and take our people. You know, how Ted Cruz defended guns to protect ourselves when crime was up. And how this country gives us the freedom to do. I just went down the list. I flipped, I don't know, 5 or 6 in that one day alone. And I purposely sat there and said, send me to your heavy Spanish-speaking districts. And they did. It was so funny. No hablo español. Say, no te preocupes, señorita. Yo hablo español. Oh, gracias. That's how you flip. That's how you win. We're going to get into blue districts and taking our message there, but that's what Suzette needs to be doing. She probably isn't, because I do know her campaign managers are consultant class campaign managers, and they don't believe in going into blue districts. And that started back in 2009. Again, we'll get into that. In fact, we'll get into that right now. The decline of the ground game. The Republican Party's grassroots infrastructure, which had been a significant reason for us being a red state. There were other reasons we kind of had turned blue, but was a significant reason at the time, deteriorated right around 2009, 2010, when leadership said, we're not going to focus on precinct captains on a ground game. It was allowed to wither and die. And that brought the rise of the consultant class. And the state party introduced a new campaign strategies that elevated the role of political consultants. And they gained significant influence within our party people and the structure of the party. At the expense of grassroots organizers and local volunteers, they pulled back. They're consultants. They're telling them what to do. What about the manpower? What about this? It's not a concern. We just want to do these mailers. I'm simplifying it quite a bit. But what it led to was more of a top-down approach. to campaigning, relying more on data-driven strategies and less on personal voter contact. They were relying on what they thought people were thinking, what they were believing, and they were structuring their whole campaigns with media buys and mailers being focal points. Radio, television, and now social media, advertising. And they said, no, we don't need to go out and walk. We can get our message out this way. I also hear it tell you, you go out and walk. Those same people you're going to reach that are just scrolling down and pass your ad, hit, don't want to see this ad anymore, even though they're conservatives, you go out there and you meet them. And those ads and all those reach, none of them are getting to Democrats. You got to go into blue districts. Again, it led to more of a top-down approach, which is a failing approach. Obama took landslide after landslide in 2008 because he had precinct captains, multiple ones in various neighborhoods. Then he had the party chair. They're influenced by outside people or donors, or when I say outside people, meaning congressmen, senators, people who want an extra influence in California as they build themselves up. So this type of change in leadership, it alters the party's priorities. The party's priorities no longer because we got to get Californians at the state level, local level elected. No, no, no. We got to put all our money in these national races. It's time to begin walking to blue districts. Let's get to my favorite part. Voter engagement. That's what walking to blue district does. It's direct engagement with voters that can build personal connections and trust. I know for a fact, you shake somebody's hand, you will more than likely win that voter. Why? He thinks he's your friend. He thinks he knows you. Maybe you get to know him, but there's that connection that's tough to explain, but that happens every single time. And even those who may not initially support your party, yeah, you know, he's a Democrat, or rather, he's a Democrat. He's a Republican, but you know, he's fun to me. He's willing to listen. That can flip a vote. Understanding the concerns, it provides the candidate an opportunity. See, mijita, yo entiendo, I understand. Yeah, you're right. I had not realized it from your perspective. Jose, write that down. We will look at that. You know, so you can listen to them to understand their concerns, their priorities in that district, and that can help you tailor your campaign message. All of a sudden in that area, your flyers are, we care about these dogs not being eaten. Springfield, Illinois.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
Persuasion, face-to-face. You're polite, you're tactful, you know how to win the argument, how to win the debate, read the book. And you do it in a very persuasive manner. Yeah, I do understand. Look, we want to get to the same goal. I think the way I do it can put more money in your pocket. Because these taxes you want to raise, they're your money too. But if we do it this way, you get to keep that money, brother. Take that vacation you haven't had in 15 years in this blue district. Visibility. When they see you there, they think you care. It demonstrates a commitment to representing all of them. Oh, yeah, Ese, I had no problem coming in the barrio. It's just surrounded by fire security. But you're in there. It gives you the visibility. And you're counteracting negative perceptions. You're getting personal with them, with the interactions. Hey, yeah, he's here. I'm repeating myself now, but yeah, Republican. I like him. That's what Trump did. And you build coalitions. You build a network within that blue district. You talk to that business leader in that, a small business owner in that blue district. All of a sudden, oh yeah, that's it. I have Doug Pilar for governor here. Don't you dare touch that. Oh. So these advantages show the importance of voter contact in blue districts. And the impact they can have. What about precinct? And so what about, I can't, I'm running for governor. I'm running for board of supervisors. I'm running for city council. I live in the rural area. I can't get to every home. What you talking about? You have precinct captains and you have activist leaders who run groups. They can provide localized leadership. They can ensure that each area within the district is covered and manage. That's how we were such a red state for so many years. They can efficiently have the resource allocation. They help allocate resources and they direct the volunteers and efforts to areas where it's most needed. Yo, there's a big event here. We may not know anything about it, but they do because it's a local area. Let's get a move. Well, boss, you only got $1,000. Move on to $200. Let's do it. Yeah. Again, the personalized voter contract. They're representing you. They're representing your message. There's some training you have to give these people. But they can engage with voters on a personal level. They build their trust and rapport. You know, people look at me as a business leader. I just got a phone call for a group I left. I just didn't have time to do it. Like, we're kind of at a standstill, William. We need your help. And I said, look, I can't do anything unless leadership comes out to me. And it made me realize, wow, these people listen to me. I'm very persuasive. I know what needs to be done. Damn it, I should run. No, I didn't say that. But that's my point. They can increase your voter turnout. They can mobilize the local volunteers. Precinct captains can help increase that voter turnout by door-to-door canvassing, phone banking, and other direct contact methods. Sure, people hate phone banking. There's that elderly person you call, you leave that message. We are going to be coming by with a group of other individuals in our big old Republican Party band, the Scooby-Doo voter band. And we will take you there. We'll bring you back. We'll even give you a nice lunch. We need the bond, Gracie, Jorge, whatever your name is. Real-time feedback. They provide real-time feedback. You may find out about issues that you weren't aware of, and you can adjust your strategies based on the voter sentiment and concerns. Community engagement. Precinct captains, grassroots activists are often members of the community. They go to Rotary Club meetings. They go to planning group meetings. They go to local Lions Club, Rail Clubs, whatever they're called. And the scalability. This structure allows the campaign to scale its efforts over large districts or across large districts. So you get comprehensive coverage, as T-Mobile always tells me, without overburdening the system, or in this case, the candidate. Simple example. PC captains can gather hundreds of voters, and if done multiple times, you'll reach thousands of voters for not only an event, but say a group meeting or a town hall. This does bypass the hardship of door-to-door walking. That's how you would do it here in rural county. Call them out just to lack Andrew Hayes. I can tell you I saw Carl multiple times. I think Andrew Hayes had one event out here. Somebody said, well, you need to endorse him. I go, no, I can't. I go, because he's not doing any. I'm going to support somebody who I know has a chance who's giving it 150% to win it all. I did not see that in his campaign. And I'm not putting that on Andrew. He's part of a system where he may not have realized it. Maybe it takes a shellacking like this to open his eyes. But I know this much. I would have fired his campaign manager on primary night when he, as the endorsed candidate, lost 60-40% to another Republican. Should never have happened. What else do you need to do? You have to find charismatic candidates who are involved directly in the community. Authentic candidates that are relatable. They understand the local issues firsthand, and they can connect with the voters. They bring trust and credibility. Their contributions to the community demonstrates the commitment that that local voter wants to see. They obviously have a deep understanding of local issues. They understand the nuances of what's happening, the challenges and aspirations of what that community is trying to do. For our case, one aspiration we had was to be able to bring in some more businesses. To me, that's an extension of jobs for these working class, these lower income people who live out here, an opportunity. They don't have to drive all the way out into a city somewhere. Hey, it's right here. I wanted to get a bond in here, and we did get it in here. And then, of course, they sold the land and decided not to come in. But that would have brought in more jobs. And scholarship programs. I was thinking big picture. I understood the local situation. Grassroots support. I am sure if I rallied the forces, got out every day, started talking, reminding people who I was, because they don't really know me as much anymore, I could rally grassroots support. I rallied a group to form. I had to leave the group because of this gig, but I had them going. I had a volunteer and I had them calling me up. They were like, thank you for doing it. I mean, I had their support. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that's what a leader does. And you got to be resilient and persevere. We don't get that a lot with a lot of our candidates. They're handpicked and they go through the motions. It's what I call the X factor, which includes resilience, persistence, perseverance, and ability to inspire others. And these traits are crucial for navigating the complexities of political office.
and driving positive change for that community to get them to believe you bring that to the table. And finally, messaging. Part of the hate toward Donald Trump from 2015 to just this past year was because the Republican Party refused to defend him. They had no message to defend him. They chose not to. And that's why the hate was able to grow and grow and grow. The Republican Party in California needs to lead the way on issues. Don't take advantage of the work grassroots do and take the credit. Donald Trump winning the coattail effect in 2024 and 2016. They try to take credit. Look what we did. We're going to even do jack squat. Donald Trump did it. School board pushback. That was done by conservatives. They tried to jump in and say, yeah, we're in the fight with you. Then a couple months later, yeah, look what we are doing. And, a couple months after that, 6 months later, look what we've done. You didn't do anything. These school board elections that we won were won by conservative parents and community members pushing back. Not by you. You didn't donate one damn dollar to any school board. This past 2024 election, the Republican Party did not donate one damn dollar. You know one thing that just hit me? I think it's time for me to get these group of people together and go, we need to form a PAC to raise money for school board races. Damn the Republican Party. Those grassroots victories have led to significant changes. However, the CAGOP claims a lot of this success as part of their strategy, despite an outcome from local activists. Another one was a recall effort. They're Newsom, done by local grassroots. They try to jump in there and co-opt it. And then when they do co-opt it, as in recalling Jorge Gascon, the Soros-backed district attorney, who for four years at least, made a revolving door of crime. People were murdered after they'd been released because of Jorge Gascon. They co-opted the recall effort done by the late, great Karen Roseberry, my very first Fired Up co-host who passed away, rest in peace. And what happened? They failed. Then they tried again. They failed again. It was more of a grift. The consulting class coming in with, I hate to say it, rich white ladies wanting to feel important. And they screwed it up. And somebody who should have been thrown out with the will of the people, because they did have it. All the data showed it. All the signature. They screwed it up. Then the Newsom, the grassroots got the recall going. They tried to co-opt it. Then, similar to the school board, is the parental rights movements, various parental rights movements across California. Parents are organizing to challenge school policies. Those are movements done by parents. It should be the Republican Party helping to lead this charge, yet they're nowhere to be found. But they sure as hell want to take credit after it's done. And there you have it, my friends. Those are reasons why the California Republican Party needs to be torn down and rebuilt. And I have no shame in saying that. I'm not here for them. Hell, they don't like me. I was told that. I got a call from the chair one time.
Well, we need to talk. You know, these articles you've been writing, they're just not what we're looking for. And I'm like, well, what the hell are you talking about, bro? Not what you're looking for. Well, they may not be seen as well-liked or well-done by party leaders. And I'm like, I don't care. I go, they don't pay my check or cut me a check.
Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I really do. We've talked about many things, including Axios and the mainstream media losing it again. We talked about voter fraud, how it's still hanging around. We talked about ballot harvesting in California, how it's still a detriment, and how the Republican Party in California needs to be torn down. So, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend. And before I leave you, my friends, do not forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast, Fired Up. I will be back next week with my cohorts, G. Mangani and Annette Ross, to talk politics. But in the meantime, check out my other podcast, The Intersectionality of Sports and Politics, Points on the Board with my co-host Bill Ross. And politics is downstream of pop culture. Translation, pop culture shapes our politics of today. And I talk about that in terms of what's happening culturally
in my Red, White, and Rude podcast. Check those out. You can find those, our Libertarian, our football, and our basketball podcast, also at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our social media outlets, Apple, Pandora, and Spotify. I had to think on that one there for a second. So, my friends, I am William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up. And until next time, I bid you adieu.